reading from the Old Testament, from the book of Job. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. And this man was blameless and upright, and he feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys. He had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. His sons used to take turns holding feasts in their homes, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And when a period of feasting had run its course, Job would send and have them purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, "Perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." This was Job's regular custom. It's Maundy Thursday, and you would think that I would choose anything but the epic poem about Job to begin our time this evening. But bear with me, because in addition to tonight's sermon, we will follow the plight of Job on Good Friday and again on Easter Sunday. What is the correlation between the Passion and Resurrection stories about Jesus and this Old Testament character? Well, in this introductory passage from the book of Job, we get a picture of what a great person is like then and now. People tend to focus on attributes such as knowledge or reputation or education or wealth or athleticism or a handsome or pretty appearance. And from what we read about Job, well, he was apparently blessed with some of these characteristics. It could even be argued he had all of these characteristics. If truth be told, Job possessed many traits that most of us admire and desire. And in conventional thinking, when a person has the right car and the right house, the right reputation, the right investments, the right spouse, the right children, he or she makes a significant impression. What was it that Job had? He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. In his fields were more sheep and camels and oxen and female donkeys than it's imaginable, even in our time. His home and his holdings had more servants than we would dream anyone could need. And in addition to that, Job was the greatest of all the individuals in the East. We measure people by how much money they have today. But in Job's day, it was based on the number of animals and people under one's control. When we turn to the New Testament, we discover the scriptural depictions of Jesus presenting us a man without possessions, no young brides and multiple children. As far as we can tell, the carpenter's son became the carpenter. We know Jesus studied in the temple with people who would ultimately turn against him. He wandered throughout the land seeking shelter among friends, and among people the religious leaders of the time considered repugnant. We do know that Jesus possessed a direct relationship with God, and that earthly riches were not part of his life. We only know for sure that he owned a desire to love and care for all people, regardless of their ethnicity, their gender, or stage in life. The New Testament story that leads to the upper room meal with the disciples came just 4 days after a triumphant entry into Jerusalem. We read that on the day we call Palm Sunday, Jesus had to borrow a donkey, and having no servants, he had to send his students to bring the donkey to him. In each of these stories, the characters receive the equivalent of a ticker tape parade, recognition for their accomplishments, positive relationships with others, and great public press. But after the parade and the recognition has ended, both are about to meet up with adversaries that most people would not consider possible for either. The poem about Job begins by introducing the characteristics of Job that one cannot easily see. He's described as blameless and upright, one who feared God, one who turned away from evil. A person's assessment of character is often slightly biased, but in this case, the case of Job, we should know that this was exactly what God said of Job, and it's repeated later on. Who could argue the point that Jesus was also blameless, full of integrity and wholeheartedly pure? Like Job, he was upright and righteous. He lived according to a very strong moral code. And certainly the written evidence indicates that he acknowledged God's ways and lived according to them. The stories about his constant outreach to the poor, the sick, and the undesirable are strong evidence of his resistance to the temptation to serve himself first. The foot washing and sharing of the bread and wine on this day support the moral and ethical standards of Jesus. The question I have to ask myself this night is, am I living up to the standards set by these two righteous men? Can I take the elements we will eat and drink tonight and know that I deserve them by my service and actions, and at the same time receive them unearned through the sacrifice of Jesus? Very few people could imitate Job in terms of his wealth and his possessions, or even the size of his family. But we can all strive to be like him in heart. The rich and the poor have equal access to a godly character. Job didn't have any advantage in this area. He faced a tough world, even as we do. But although Job's immense wealth was impressive, we know that these possessions did not make him special. Job's inner qualities distinguished him, despite his great wealth. With such position, he could have chosen to do many wrong things, as we will learn that his friends believed. He could have gone beyond the law and managed to get away with it. And yet Job constrained his behaviour because of his love of the Lord. And Job sets a great example for us as he breaks through the cheap, materialistic view of the world and dares to live right in God's presence. His possessions do not make him great. It is godly commitments that shape his character and his decisions. Job does not strive to be wealthy, but to be acceptable before God and to live rightly before people. Tonight, as we partake of this Lord's Supper, may we find strength in the lessons from Job, and may we make an impact on the world in which we live. Amen.